Again, I just want to begin this time with you by expressing words of gratitude. In my daily prayer, I give thanks to God for you, for your presence in my life and your presence here at St. Joan of Arc. And I want to thank you personally for your presence here today. I don't ever want to take that for granted. There are many things vying for your attention, many things that you could get in the way of your time here today. And I never know, you know, what you had to overcome to be here today, but we're all dealing with all sorts of things in our personal lives. And then, not to mention, the church, I think, right now is not giving us a lot of motivation sometimes to want to pray. You know, with the scandal in the church, it's disheartening to think that those who are charged with the responsibility of handing on the faith would fall victim to the temptations of the devil. So we pray for them, and we pray for the victims of abuse always. So disheartening. And so it can be difficult to come to Mass and to come to church. And I've always said we put our faith in our Lord Jesus. When we come to Holy Communion, we don't receive the Pope or a bishop or a cardinal in Holy Communion. We receive our Lord Jesus. And we have to continue to keep our faith there in our Lord Jesus. Stay strong in Christ, despite the difficulties that are going on and swirling around us. I think as a people of faith, we draw close to God for all sorts of reasons as well. Not only at Holy Mass, but in our personal prayer life throughout our week. Hopefully, we come to God with different things. And I think when we come to God, it's normal to ask Him, to petition Him for certain things. Even in the Our Father, Thy kingdom come. We're praying that the kingdom would come, that we would, Thy will be done, that we'd be open to doing God's will. And we ask the Lord to forgive us our trespasses. So a lot of our prayer is built around this petition, petitioning God, asking God. We can also ask for personal things like health. That's very normal, especially if we're suffering or we know someone who is suffering. We pray for health, for our family. We pray for a good job. We pray for a faithful spouse. We pray for the safety of our children, and on and on. And we can ask God to help us and to help others. Today, though, I think our readings want to help us focus our prayer to God, specifically our petitioning God. And what is our readings give us today? They help us to zero in on what matters most. And I would suggest that today's readings ask us to look to God and to ask for an eternal relationship with Him in heaven. That we would want to spend eternity in heaven with God. That would be our primary prayer, our petition. And that really comes through in the readings today, all the readings. In the first reading, for example, we have King Solomon. Here is one who has seemingly everything, and he turns to God and he recognizes that he is lacking something, and he prays for what? The virtue of wisdom, of prudence, that he would be able to make wise and therefore hopefully holy decisions. He wasn't asking God for health or wealth or more power, you know, which could have been very tempting for him to do, but no, he asked for that virtue of prudence. And so that leads me to ask, well, what do I ask God for? What are the desires of my heart? Again, there's so many things to pray for. If I had to kind of narrow it down, if I had to prioritize, I suppose, what would float to the top? What would be the number one thing? Like I said, if we're sick, we ask for health. If we're poor, I mean, the temptation is to ask for wealth. When we ask God for what we really need, God listens to our prayer. And in faith, we know that He wants to and He answers our prayers. But maybe not at that very moment. But we trust that He wants to give us everything we need. And all the gifts that we have received have come from God. Why? Because we're His beloved children. Our very life is a gift from God. The people that we have in our life are a gift from God. Our faith Your ability to come here this morning, I would look at as a gift from God. The ability, and I never want to take that for granted. Because things change in an instant, don't they? And things that we sometimes just take for granted can be, you know, lost in a moment. So God gives us everything. He gives us what's best for us. The second reading, it continues with that kind of thinking. It says that the Word of God is able to discern reflections and thoughts of my heart. Now think about that statement in the second reading, that God can discern our heart. He knows our hearts. I mean, sometimes I don't know my heart as well as I'd like. I mean, I'd like to think I know who I am and where I'm going and what I'm about, what I stand for, what makes me tick, what makes me happy, what makes me sad. But that's changing sometimes. But God, He knows my heart. And He still loves me, even when I struggle, even when I fall. It's very comforting to know that we have that kind of relationship with our loving God, who wants to hear our prayers and answer them. But the thought that God knows every one of our thoughts, you know, and the desires of our hearts, that can be scary until we can realize that God is always seeking to love us, and He always wants to give us those things that are going to help us grow closer to Him. That's an important little thought there. He wants to give us those things that are going to help us grow closer to Him. So that means He might not give us exactly what we want, exactly when we want it. Why? Why won't God give us what we ask for right that minute? Because He knows better. He knows that sometimes we need to be purified of our desires. Sometimes the desires of our heart aren't fully in accord with God's will. We want all kinds of things sometimes. I think, you know, we understand that. Parents, I think you'll back me up on this. You do this with your children all the time. Parents who are good parents, they don't give their children everything they ask for. Why? Because they know it's not good for them. Even though they love them and they want what's best for them, and maybe because they love them and they want what's best for them, they're not going to give them exactly what they want when they want it. I mean, I think about, you know, when I was little, I wanted a bike. I didn't get the bike exactly what I wanted. Granted, I was only 2 years old, but I was ahead of my time. I'm just kidding. But I don't recall getting exactly what I wanted. I don't remember being traumatized by the whole thing. But I imagine that my parents knew that I was probably a little reckless, a bit of a knucklehead maybe. I don't know. I would have gone and rode my bike in the traffic. For whatever reason, I shouldn't have had the bike at that particular moment. My parents knew that. And when I was able to handle a bike, well, that's when I got the bike, at the exact moment. Right? But I didn't know. So growing in holiness, becoming a saint, becoming who God made us to be, is about knowing God's love for us and then letting go of trying to control God. Becoming a saint means letting God be the God of all of our life, including the desires and to control. To have everything our way, when and how we want it. Now here's the challenge, though. We have a culture that we live in that really does promote get what you want when you want it. And you deserve to have it your way. The gospel today in St. Mark, from St. Mark, tells us the story of a good young man. And he wants to follow our Lord Jesus. He's been deeply faithful, the scripture tells us. Why? We know that because he's been keeping the commandments, the teachings of God. But he asks our Lord this important question that we need to ask ourselves too. He says, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom?" You know, what do I need to do to go to heaven, to receive eternal life? And that's the ultimate question. It's a great question. So Jesus looks at the man, it says, Jesus looks at him with love. And then he calls him to the next level. And it's challenging. So the man made a petition. He made his prayer, in a sense. "Lord, I desire heaven. What must I do to gain heaven? Grant me that. You know, I have the desire. Grant me that what I need to do to attain heaven." And so Jesus says to him, because he knows the man, He knew the man better than he knew himself. And he said that he had to give up what he had to the, and sell what he had and give his money to the poor and then follow him. Wow. I'm pretty sure that the man didn't see that coming. He didn't see that as part of the plan. And so what happens? He went away sad. Jesus was trying to purify the man. He was very attached to his possessions. And this is a hard thing, because I think for all of us, because this scripture wasn't just meant, and these words just weren't meant for just that man, but they're meant for each one of us here today too. Not necessarily you have to sell everything that you have and give to the poor and then follow Jesus in the exact way that this gospel is. But it is about, what is it that's between you and the Lord that's getting in the way of that relationship taking it to the next level? That you would become just that bit more holy of a person. The truth is that God is always asking things of us. He's always challenging us to grow in holiness. And so there's probably is something in every one of your lives here, no matter what your age, that you might have to be willing to let go of in order to make more room for Christ in your life. And I don't know what that is for you. It's very personal. But to even dare to ask the question, Lord, what must I do to become the saint that you are calling me to be? Is there something that is weighing me down, that I spend a lot of time worried about, that I'm preoccupied about, that takes, that consumes a lot of my energy? So I'll close with this question. Is there anything in your life that you would not be willing to give up in order to follow our Lord? That might be the very thing that you have to really just prayerfully bring before God. This is the one thing, Lord. Because why? Why do I ask that? It's a difficult question. Because when we stand before the Lord, we will have nothing. Like, our Lord is not going to ask for your, is your 401k strong? Not that we can't have a 401k. How much power did you have? Prestige? How many friends did you have? All those things. It's just going to be you and the Lord. And so sometimes those things, not necessarily bad in of themselves, but they can preoccupy our time and energy so much that we forget who we are as God's beloved children. So let us ask the Lord for the grace to follow him. Let us ask him to help purify our hearts, that our motives and the desires of our hearts may be for our Lord. When we give up everything for God, we'll never be left empty-handed. I think that's the trick of the enemy. Oh, if you give that up, if you let go of that, then you're going to be really hurting. My experience is that when I give something up for the Lord, he responds in complete generosity. I'll just give you this one example from my priesthood. When I knew the Lord was calling me to be a priest, I knew that I'd have to give up a wife and a family. I knew that was part of the sacrifice that I'd have to make for this greater good that the Lord was calling me to. Is it a difficult life at times? Is there sacrifice involved? Yes. Is it worth it? I would do it 1,000 times over. Because of the beautiful ways that God has blessed my life in offering him that little sacrifice. Husbands and wives, you know that when you stand before the Lord and you commit yourself to that other, what you're saying is no to everybody else for as long as you live, until death do you part. So you know about that sacrifice as well when you commit yourself to each other in marriage. Just like priesthood, I forego one good for another good. Parents, for your children. If you're a good parent, you realize the sacrifice that you must make in order for your children to learn, to love, to be there, that sacrifice of time, to show them by your example, by your word. You understand that you give up your time freely Maybe not always easily, but you do it. Why? For the greater good of your children. We understand that importance of sacrificing one thing for another. And so God never leaves us empty-handed. He'll never take and then not replace it with something greater. But are we willing to give him whatever that is that's holding us down? We have to trust him to let go of all that is not of God. And in doing so, you will find the kingdom.